Andrew waits for the snap, takes it, sets up looks. He's throwing one over the middle. Caught by Kobe Fleener. First down. Out to about the 38 or 39-yard line. 21 on the pass play, and the Colts have a first down on a third down play for the first time in two halves. The snap. Mack puts it down. Adams' kick is on the way. It is certainly long enough, and it is good. And the Colts draw first blood. It's a field goal, but it's 3-0 with 6:09 to go. First and goal from the 1-yard line. Fitzpatrick, quarterback sneak, he's in, touchdown. No signal yet, but he got across the line. Now it comes, and it's 6-6. Vinatieri with McAfee holding. Matt Overton is the snapper. Ball down. Kick is on the way. That kick has everything written all over it. It is good. The Colts go 57 yards and 8 plays. And now on the Harrison College scoreboard with 10:26 to go in the first half, it's the Indianapolis Colts 9 and the Tennessee Titans 7. Snap is to Fitzpatrick out of the gun. Colts not able to get to him. He stays in. He's going to throw one over the middle. Intercepted. Colts with the ball. That is Cassius Vaughn, who comes up with his second pick of the year. He now leads the team with 2 picks. Snap is to Fitzpatrick. Colts closing in on Nagy. The ball is free. The Colts have got it. Running with it is Freeman. Freeman gets down to the 35 and down to the 32-yard line. Second takeaway, and the Colts have great field position. 14-12 Tennessee. Snap, ball down. Adams' kick is on the way. It looks good. It is good. He's 5 for 5 today. The Colts take the lead, and he has 100 points this year. The 16th time he has done that, and that equals the National Football League record he holds now jointly with Jason Elam. Fitzpatrick takes the snap. He's got some time. He's going to throw one over the middle. Is it picked off? Yes! The Colts got it again. Cassius Vaughn, second of the game. Joe Wrights is in as a extra blocker, and on the play action, Andrew Luck rolling to the right side. He's going to run first down, 50, 45, 40, cuts back in, 35, and goes down at the Tennessee 33, 34-yard line. They move Mario Harvey in motion from the right side to the left. They'll give it off to Donald Brown right up the middle. DB, did he get in? Yes, touchdown! Donald Brown behind the big heat, big guys. Blasted into the end zone, and the Colts now lead 21-14 with the extra point to come. Fitzpatrick takes the snap, sets up, looks and looks and looks and looks, and now he's going to wheel one down. It picked off by the Colts. Freeman, Jarrell Freeman goes to the ground with the Colts' third interception of the day. Jarrell Freeman did it, and with 24 seconds left to go, the Colts are within 1 of clinching the AFC South.
I'm really, really proud of this football team, this coaching staff, this organization.
These guys have no quit. They bounce back.
10-5, touchdown!
We set a foundation from day one that we are going to stick with the process.
Got it! 73-yard pass play!
We've got the very best fans in the National Football League.
And the Colts are going to win the ball game.
Welcome to Colts Monday Night with head coach Chuck Pagano. Presented each week by Citizens Energy Group. Now live from the Taco Bell studio, here's the voice of the Colts, Bob Lamy.
Wow, what a football game yesterday, and the Colts win it by the score of 22-14. Adam Vinatieri, a super part in this big win yesterday, and the Colts now within 1 of clinching the division championship. Before we start the show tonight, Subway would like to give away prize packages to the first 5 callers to the show tonight. Call the Verizon hotline at 317-639-COLT. That's again 317-639-COLT. During the second half of tonight's show, we'll be visiting with the Game Day radio analyst Jim Sorge on the Verizon hotline as well. Verizon proud sponsor of the Colts. Jim will share his thoughts on the game yesterday and what should happen going into the game against the Bengals next Sunday. Coach Pagano is going to be taking your social media questions tonight in the next segment. So you can submit your questions to the coach for tonight and future shows. Log on to Facebook.com/Colts or tweet the show directly at Pagano Show. Now, we'll be with the coach in just a moment, but reflecting back, and again, Adam Vinatieri just sensational yesterday. 5 of 5, the second time in his career. They were not easy ones. Shortest was 37, 45, 47, 48, 49. And he held us in along with a great effort by the defense. 4 takeaways. Jarrell Freeman had a fumble recovery and an interception. Cassius Vaughn had 2 picks on the day. And, well, Robert Mathis, his 41st career strip sack and his 107th career sack. but it took all 60 minutes. The Colts yesterday again ran into trouble a little bit offensively. The defense and Adam Vinatieri, they held the Colts in until the last drive of the game for the Colts, 92 yards. Donald Brown did a yeoman job on that drive. So did the offensive line. And I think we may have found our short yardage package. We had so many big guys in there on that last touchdown run by Donald Brown. Joe Wrights was in there. Mario Harvey was in there. Mike McGlynn was in there. They were all extra blockers, and they did a great job, paved the way to the end zone for Donald Brown. And DB is becoming a real thorn in the side of the Tennessee Titans. Three touchdowns against them in the last couple of weeks. He averages about 6 yards a carry against the Titans. He's had one of his two career 100-yard games against them, and on Sunday, he drove the nail in the coffin one more time. Colts are 8-4, 4-2 at home, 4-2 on the road. Four games left. If they win one of those four, or Tennessee loses one of their four left, the Colts will not only be AFC South Division champions and in the playoffs, but they'll have a home field playoff game. Well, Chuck Pagano's up next. He'll talk with us about yesterday, look ahead to Cincinnati briefly, and talk, I'm sure, about how good the fans were yesterday and how much help they gave the Colts in a very, very physical, tough, tough football game. You're listening to Colts Monday Night with Chuck Pagano, presented by Citizens Energy Group on FM 107.5, 1070 The Fan, and 97.1 Hank FM.
Welcome back to Colts Monday Night with Chuck Pagano, presented by Citizens Energy Group. Proud to be the Colts' conservation partner. Find winning conservation tips at citizensenergygroup.com. Colts football is also brought to you by Papa John's. When the Colts win, you win. Get 50% off your regular menu price online order the day after the Colts win. Log on to papajohns.com and enter promo code COLTS50. And be sure to manage your energy bills by taking advantage of cash rebates on high-efficiency appliances from Veterans Conservation Connection. Learn more about the rebates available at Vectren.com. Vectren, live smart.
Welcome back to Colts Monday Night with head coach Chuck Pagano, presented by Citizens Energy Group. Now, here's Bob Lamy from the Taco Bell studio.
Welcome back to the show. Chuck is with us, and we're going to talk about yesterday's game. You know, Chuck, a lot of people are saying, well, it was an ugly win. It was this, it was that. Been around a long time, but I don't think I've ever seen such a thing as a pretty loss or an ugly win.
No, you're exactly right. We'll take them any way that we can get them. We know how difficult, Bob, it is to win football games in the National Football League. Good football team that came in here yesterday playing for the same thing that we're playing for, you know, a division crown. We knew it was going to be an alley fight, a brawl, if you will, like I heard a couple of our players talk about it, and it was. And it was going to be a 60-minute slugfest, and we came out on the winning side of of the game. So, again, we're never going to apologize for a W.
You know, I saw something after the game that makes you understand what this game is all about. Those two teams fought hard for 60 minutes. It's all over. There were hugs. Donald Brown led the bunch of guys in a prayer, handshakes all around. Both teams respected the game and respected each other, which is what this league's all about.
Ain't no doubt about it. And, you know, those guys, they play the game the way it's supposed to be played. Our guys play the game the way it's supposed to be played. It was a tough, hard-fought ball game. But, like you said, these guys have great admiration and great respect for one another. For all the things we just talked about, these guys know each other. You know, mm-hmm. they live in similar places. You know, in the off season, they work out together in the off season. And you know, if guys live in Atlanta or you know, West Coast, East, whatever. But these two teams, and obviously being in the same division, playing twice a year, they know each other. They know the sacrifices that each of these guys make, and how hard this game is. And so they battle it out for 60 minutes, but like you said afterwards, you know, shake hands, ton of respect for one another, and that's the way it should be.
And the tough part about games, injuries. And I think the only team in the league that has had more than you've had is Atlanta. and you got a few more yesterday.
Yeah, unfortunately, you know, Boom Heron got his MRI back, and we're going to have to put him on season-ending IR. What we thought was a pec strain came back as a torn pec, and it'll require season-ending surgery. Boom was playing really good for us, you know, especially on special teams. Great kid and character guy, horseshoe guy, and hate to lose him. Ricky Jean Francois, you know, similar injury to what Bjorn had earlier in the season. Slight tear to a plantar fascia, you know, which is a foot injury. Cost him a couple weeks. Hopefully a little less than what Bjorn went through, and Jeff Linkenbach finished the game, but then came in today and had a partial tear in his quadricep, and so you know, he'll be you know, week to week. Hopefully it'll be 1 week, maybe just two, but again, three really good football players. Ricky Jean, yeah, you know, has been playing lights out and was having one whale of a ball game yesterday. And again, has been playing really good football for us, and hate to lose him. And, you know, Jeff came in and was playing well. And you know, he did that. I think that injury, talking to Joey Gilbert this morning, we went through the staff meeting. I think he did it second series, you know, and played the entire game, you know, with that tear. One tough cookie. And so, ton of respect for all those guys, ton of respect for Jeff and what he gave, you know, and sacrificed yesterday for this team.
You get some people back, maybe?
Yeah, you know, talking to Hammer and the trainers, looks like, you know, Cavell Connor, Greg Toler, Josh Gordy, all trending in the right direction. Looks like they'll be out at practice, back out there Wednesday. You know, ease them into individual drills, and then we'll progress from there. So looks like we'll hopefully get those three guys back.
Coach, you normally give guys at least a half a day off on Monday. Changed a little bit this week. You're getting to December. These games are so important. Is that the reason you get everybody together as quickly as you can?
Yeah. You know, what we wanted to do was, you know, get them all in here this morning. You know, mainly, you know, treatment, get an extra lift, you know, watch the tape, see their coaches. You know, the coaches had the tape graded and get their grade sheets and you know, whether they did it with their coach or, you know, as a position crew, just wanted to get everybody through here. And we had, you know, we had the whole football team, you know, through here, which was great. And then get a jump on the Bengals, you know, grab, you know, get their iPads loaded up with the cut-ups and the game film and things like that. So it was good to get them back. And again, we're heading, you know, down the home stretch. This is the fourth quarter of the season, four ball games left, and none more important, obviously, than this one coming up against Cincinnati.
I think everybody knows you need one win or one Tennessee loss. That's for the AFC South. You can move up in the standings. Right now, Cincinnati 8-4, you're 8-4, and New England's just 9-3. So still a lot you could win.
No, it's all there, you know, for the taking, and we control our own destiny. And certainly, we're not going to sit back and count on anybody else, you know, getting us in the dance, getting us a higher seat. We're just going to go back to work and do what we have to do to get better and play as good a football as we can down the stretch.
At the press conference an hour or so ago, you brought up a lot of things, but Adam Vinatieri, I'm not even sure how old he is. I don't want to find out. 5 for 5, and they weren't gimme field goals yesterday, and just when you needed it the most.
No question about it, and obviously a guy that takes great pride in his craft and has done so for a long, long time, and was huge for us yesterday. Like you said, 5 field goals and 4 of them between 40 and 49 yards, and so he just nothing surprises any of us anymore with Adam, but you know, he's a great man. He's a great pro, a great teammate, a great Colt, and what a performance he had yesterday.
And for the first time in a long time, his team got four takeaways. And you move Cassius Vaughn around a little bit, and what a great move you made because he comes up with two picks.
Yeah, he was. He had a great week of practice, prepared really well, was bound and determined to go out there and play really good football for us and give us everything that he had, and he certainly did that. And for him to come up with two interceptions and that wasn't the only thing, the only production that he had in the ball game. He was steady throughout. So it was four takeaways. Anytime you can have a game, defensively, and you get four takeaways, three picks, and then the strip sack, the strip fumble, and things like that. Again, plus three, on the turnover margin, you're going to win a lot of football games.
And then you look at a guy like Jarrell Freeman. The thing that, when I look back on that game, he had 10 tackles or more. He had the interception, the fumble recovery. Maybe you knew. I didn't know he could jump that high.
Yeah, he. What a great day. A lot of guys had great days, but he on the defensive side, and he had a great day. A lot of production, a lot of tackles, like you said, to scoop up the fumble and showed off a little bit of his running skills, But and then the interception at the end to seal the game for us. And again, another guy that works really hard at his craft and prepares really well and had an outstanding day for us.
You talk about football IQ and the smarts on the field. Jarrell went down after the interception to make sure there was no fumble. And earlier, Chris Rainey muffed a punt, and Sergio Brown has got a cast on his hand, comes up with it, and ran right out of bounds to prevent fumbles.
Heads-up football plays. Yeah. Smart football. We talk about playing smart, playing tough, playing together, and playing as a team, and a lot of those things. And again, I've seen guys, when the game is over, intercept, footballs at the end of games and start running and have the ball punched out only to give the offense another opportunity to beat you with a Hail Mary or whatnot. But smart move, on Jarrell's part. Sergio is – I mean, I'd be remiss if, we didn't talk about it. And I'm glad you brought it up because, he's been playing great all year. If he isn't in Hawaii, I'd be shocked. But he's played great football all year. And then to have surgery, Tuesday morning, put a plate in his hand, put a cast over the top of that thing, and then go play the way he played. There's no tougher guy on our football team than Sergio Brown, and I respect that kid so much and what he does for this this program and our team and for this organization. Just hats off to him.
All right, Chuck, it's time for the Pagano Playbook, brought to you by Citizens Energy Group. Hey, got a win yesterday, third down still, 3 out of 14. What's the biggest problem with the third down conversion?
First and second down, like we talked going into the game, was going to be major. We got to stay on schedule. We got to be more productive. There were times where we moved the chains, and then we found a way to shoot ourselves in the foot. We have a turnover, a sudden change, and we open up with a reverse, and we don't get it quite blocked up right, and you have an 11-yard loss, on first down. It's going to be hard to convert, on third down when it's third and 20, which we had. Mm-hmm. A lot of third and eights, a lot of third and nines, third and third, what not. So, first and second down is the key. You gotta stay on schedule. You can't take negative plays. You can't have false starts. You can't have a second and 15 because of a false start. So, those are the things we'll go to work on and continue. We've been working on them. We'll continue to work on them, and we've got to get them corrected down the stretch because it only gets tougher from here on out.
All right, that was Pagano's Playbook presented by Citizens Energy Group. Make conservation tips a part of your playbook. Visit citizensenergygroup.com for helpful tips. All right, time to go to the McDonald's Inbox presented by McDonald's Big Mac, the official burger of the Colts. It's the McDonald's Inbox where fans can tweet the show, ask coach questions, and let's go right to him. Harold from Fishers, what did you see differently out of the offense on that last drive?
Well, I think a group of guys that just say, hey, look, I think we had a one-point lead at the time. We were up 15-14, and they just kind of drew a line in the sand and said, hey, look, we got 92 yards to go. We can close this thing out. And, you know, they kind of, you know, stiffen their spine, if you will, set their jaw, and, you know, they executed. And offensive line did a great job. Tight ends and backs did a great job. Donald ran the heck out of the ball. Quarterback made one really huge play, obviously, on the third down, I think it was, mm-hmm. Bob, on third and two. Great call by Pep, and bootlegged around and saw the opening, and I don't know what he gained, 40 yards or whatever on that, right?
It was a big touchdown.
Yeah, but those were the key factors. But, again, I think just, a gritty performance late in the game. I think we took the ball over with, 8:08 left, mm-hmm. And got it inside the two-minute warning. So definitely won the game.
All right. The next question comes from Vernon from Evansville. When do you start looking at playoff scenarios?
When they start. But in all honesty, we've just got to stick to the process. We're in the last quarter of the season, and for us to get ahead of ourselves and start worrying about seedings and who you might play and who's got to do what, and I think that's just a recipe for disaster. Our focus and mindset's got to be on one thing and one thing only, and that's this upcoming ball game.
Okay, from Ben Martin wants to know, what changes do you make in the defense to get better run defense? Chris Johnson found his yards yesterday. Not too many of them, though.
No, I'd take it any day of the week when you came, you come out of that thing and you say, hey, you held Chris Johnson to, whatever he rushed for. 69 yards and 3.8 per carry. There's been, I know he's rushed for a bigger ball game, yardage-wise, output-wise in the past against, some really good football teams. So I was proud of the way our guys kept him in check.
Talked a lot yesterday about a lot of the guys that don't normally get in games. I missed one. This caller doesn't. James Murphy wants to know, will Josh McNary play more on passing downs?
Yeah, he had an opportunity. We had a little package put together for Josh. Played a lot more plays on special teams and did a really nice job for us. But the three plays he went in, none bigger than a third down where we blitzed Josh, and he beat the running back one-on-one right in the hole and hit the quarterback, hit Fitzgerald Fitzpatrick, right when he released the ball. And obviously that thing sailed, over the top of everybody in the back end, and was a great, great football play by Josh. And it just showed, his speed, his athleticism, all those things. And so we look to get him more involved.
All right, final question comes from Nineveh, from Benny. What's the atmosphere like in the locker room when you win compared to a loss?
Heck of a lot better, I tell you that, and especially after that one. Coming off of, I'll just say it like it is, an embarrassing loss to the Cardinals. These guys found a way again to pull things together because of, the character of this football team and our leadership in that locker room and the veteran guys in that locker room, to get that win. And again, to walk in there and see the smiles, on those players' faces and the coaches and so gratifying, we talk about the 24-hour rule, Bob, win or lose, and when you lose, there's no worse feeling because you put so much into it. These players put so much time and energy and sacrifice so much to get these wins, and they're so hard. And that sticks with you, mm-hmm. Until you the next ball game. You know, the win, we say, hey, it's over, you move on. And you don't get to enjoy it for 6 or 7 days. But heck of a lot better locker room, heck of a lot better scene when you win than lose.
As always, thank you very much for the time. It's always fun spending time with Coach Pagano. You're listening to Colts Monday Night with the Coach, presented by Citizens Energy Group on FM 107.5, 1070 The Fan, 97.1 Hank FM. When we come back, we'll have our Spotlight Player interviews with Jarrell Freeman and Adam Vinatieri.
This is Colts Monday Night on FM 107.5 and 1070 The Fan. Colts fans, be sure to visit the Bud Light Party Zone at Lucas Oil Stadium. The Bud Light Party Zone is above the north end zone in front of the windows that open to the Indianapolis skyline. Bud Light, the official beer of the NFL. And every morning, Wish TV's Daybreak is a better way to start your day, delivering overnight news, weather, and traffic with the latest updates you need to prepare yourself for your day. Weekday mornings on Wish TV.
Citizens Energy Group proudly presents Colts Monday Night with head coach Chuck Pagano. Let's continue the horseshoe conversation with Bob Lamy from the Taco Bell studio.
Welcome back to the show, everybody, and it's time for our Spotlight Player of the Game interviews. We picked a couple of guys who had a big part in yesterday's 22-14 win, Jarrell Freeman and Adam Vinatieri. Jarrell, just an outstanding day. He finished it off with a leaping interception of a Ryan Fitzpatrick pass down the middle, and he thought perhaps Antoine Bethea might have made the play, but Jarrell did, and he also had a fumble recovery on the strip sack by Robert Mathis. We had a chance to sit down with Jarrell today, and it, for us in the press box, the game looked like it was extremely physical, very, very hard-fought game on both sides. And we asked Jarrell if it was the same on the field.
Yeah, it was pretty physical. When these two teams go against each other, it's usually a fight. You know, it's for 60 minutes regardless. I mean, this is a pretty good, we'll say, rivalry now. You know, all of our games have pretty much come to the, since I've been here, much come to the last drive, you know, every time we played them. So it's we knew it was going to be a fight, and it was a physical game. I mean, all was cracked up to be.
The defense hadn't had too many takeaways in a couple of games. You got four yesterday, three picks and a fumble recovery. You get two of them, and they led to points. Only field goals, but from your standpoint, how big was what Adam did? Adam Vinatieri threw most of the game until that last drive.
It's huge. we definitely needed those points, regardless of what it was. I mean, we just needed to get some points on the board, you know, start to get the things rolling. Turnovers, like you said, helped out with that. Try to get our offense rolling. I mean, we kind of feed off of each other. But Adam being a Hall of Famer, Adam is. I mean, he's just clutch city, man. That's just what he is. So anytime we give him the ball, we know it's going in.
Your interception clinched the victory yesterday. Did you notice something? Did you see something coming on that one?
I mean, you can kind of see the route concept, you know, with the back coming out, trying to get me to come down, with the deep over, coming over the top, you know. And I think if I didn't pick it, Antoine probably would have picked it. I mean, he saw the same thing. So it was, we got, like I said, like I've said before, we got a lot of high IQ guys out there. I mean, we know what's going on. And, hey, if I didn't make the play, Antoine was going to make it. I mean, we were going to get the tackle. It didn't matter. They weren't going to get that end zone.
So I told you walking down the hall, I didn't know you could jump that high, but I do know you're a pretty good athlete. Do you ever high jump or anything like that?
Nah, I'm not. Wasn't much of a high jumper. Nah, I was. I just threw the shot put in this. That's about it.
Cassius Vaughn moved positions yesterday and comes up with two interceptions. Cassius is just seems like an inch away from making a big play every game.
Right. I mean, we know what Cassius brings to the table. He's definitely a playmaker. He's definitely going to be around the ball. You know, his play, his technique. He's a real good corner, man. We're happy to have him. You know, as our whole defense, we've been going up and down a little bit, but you know, we're starting to come together.
Yesterday, the defense and Adam kept us in the game until the last drive of the game. Mm-hmm. What's the mentality? Okay, the offense is struggling a little bit, but you're hanging in there. The defense, do you say, hey, we got to hold them until the offense can score? Is there a certain mentality you have?
Our mentality is get out the field on third downs and get the ball to our offense as many times as we can get to them, regardless of how they're doing. You know, from when I was looking at and seeing, they were on schedule a lot of the times, you know, with a little hiccup here and there. But, I mean, they look like they're rolling. And definitely the last drive, that running game started pounding them. And it looked pretty good to me. So, I mean, we like it. Even as a defense, we got stuff that we need to work on. So, I mean, it's just trying to get better each week. Offense, defense, special teams, man, it doesn't really matter.
You're a great unit, and it's hard to single out this guy or that guy as being a key. But for the last couple of years, you've watched Robert Mathis. He's now a half a sack away from two major Colts records, all-time and single season. What do you see when you watch Robert play?
I've been watching Rob for a long time. You know, I used to be a Colts fan way back in the day, man. You know, I'm from Texas, kind of a Cowboy. Used to be a Cowboys fan, but definitely a Colts fan. So I've been watching for a long time, and to actually see it in person, it's just like watching greatness, man. It's definitely a pleasure to watch, you know, somebody that great just doing it over and over again, regardless of his age. He's still got a lot left in the tank.
You recovered the fumble on the strip sack yesterday. Mm-hmm. That's his 41st. He has the most ever in the National Football League. Man. Thought you were going to score there for a minute.
Hey, I thought I was going to score two. I got tripped up by my own guys out there, but, you know, I can't blame them. They were out there trying to work for me, trying to get me blocked, trying to get me into the end zone. So, I mean, it's try to get to the end zone, but, you know, it just wasn't there. Just wasn't my day for it.
When you intercept passes, something good happened. The very first one was in Chicago. Yeah. Is that the first play of the game or the second? But it was very quick, gave us an early 7-0 lead. Mm-hmm. And yesterday, you clinched the game.
Yeah, I mean, I just try to do my part, pretty much. Try not to go out of my way to do anything. We got 11 good guys on that defense, you know. And you don't want to be that guy not doing what you're supposed to be doing out there. So it's definitely what my coverage was, and just was able to make the play when it came to me.
Playing tough, that's your reputation. Mm-hmm. You got cut in the lip yesterday, and all I saw coming off the field was a lot of blood. And I saw an interview in the locker room where you had a big bandage on. You look pretty good today, but I guess it's still pretty sore.
Yeah, it's definitely pretty sore. Like I said, it's not the first time I've been cut on my face, man, and had to go back in the game. It's all a part of football, and, you know, I mean, people get injured out there all the time. So I just go back in the game and just go handle my business.
Played in the Canadian League. You talk about cutting. You've got a pretty good scar. How did that happen?
Once again, my helmet came off. I went to, I guess, a gator roll type of tackle, and his cleat clicked up and hit me in my, you know, hit me in my chin, and now I got about, 16, 17 stitches? Yeah. I don't know what it is with my face and getting cut, but, you know, I'm trying to get, I guess, getting some character on my face, you know.
Plastic surgery, but you don't need that. You look good anyway. Jarrell, you still got four games left to go. You need one or a Tennessee loss to clinch the division. So, but yesterday's game was huge because now it is magic number one. Going into that game, everybody knew it was going to be a big game. The feel in the stands, you could almost feel it was a playoff-type game yesterday.
Oh, no doubt. It was a playoff-type of game, you know, knowing we need this game to be for the division, knowing that they need the game to try to stay in, keep their playoff hopes alive. It was a must-win for them. They threw a lot of great punches, you know. We had the counter punch. It was a lot of haymakers thrown out there. It was definitely all it was cracked up to be. So it was a great atmosphere.
Got to go to Cincinnati. You've been down there once this year in a preseason game. This is a little different. Both of you, 8-4. Mm-hmm. Start thinking about the Bengals today?
Oh, no doubt. I wasn't able to play that preseason game. You know, I guess they let me rest or whatever. Let a lot of guys rest. But from what I've seen on film, yeah, we actually been watching film already. So, I mean, they're a pretty good team. I mean, great wide receivers, nice run game, good quarterbacks getting a little more savvy with the game. We're going to have a time on our hands, but I think we're up to the challenge.
Again, great game yesterday. Thanks for coming by, and keep it rolling. Defense playing awfully well right now.
All right. Thank you for having me.
That was Jarrell Freeman, one of our Spotlight Player interviews tonight, brought to you by Lightbound. For all your cloud service needs, call Lightbound. Adam Vinatieri's block a time or two. He's made some field goals, 437 of them. But yesterday, for the second time in his career, he made five field goals in a game, 37, 45, 47, 48, and 49 yards. They were not chip shots by any stretch of the imagination. I asked him, how he felt going out there, and the shots weren't easy for him.
Well, you know, anytime you can go out and help your team win, it's great. You know, you start a game and you prepare for anything, and you never really know how it's going to happen. And sometimes you're not on the field a lot. Other times you're on the field a bunch. But if you can make your kicks and help the team win, you know, I think that's for any person on the team. You want to be able to contribute to helping the team win. And we had a lot of contributors yesterday. I mean, across the board, we had big turnovers that the defense did, and you know, Donald Brown made some big first downs that last drive to seal the game. I mean, you know, across the board, guys made plays, and it was nice to be able to help contribute to the win.
How important was that win, particularly in light of things that have happened in the last couple of weeks, especially at home, especially against a division team?
Well, we've been kind of inconsistent the last while during the season. We've been up and down a little bit, and we have some good period quarters, you know, and there's times that, you know, we haven't played great at times. But, you know, coming back after a real disappointing loss last week and going out there and playing a good team in the Tennessee Titans, a team that needed to win to keep pace. And, I mean, we were both playing for the same thing. So to come in and be able to bounce back and play well enough to win that game against a good team, I think that's great. We have to build on that and keep working and keep moving forward. It's not just about winning a game here and there. It's about building and stringing good games together and getting that confidence and knowing that we got what it takes postseason-wise.
You've told me before you don't have any superstitions. You don't have anything you do every day to make sure it's right. But are there games like yesterday when you make a long field goal, you kind of get a good feeling that this is going to be a good day?
Well, yeah, there's days that you're hitting the ball well and it feels like you can't miss, you know, and obviously it's dumb to feel that way. It's one of those things that each time you go out there, you have to refocus in and get yourself prepared, and I try to do that. I really do. I mean, I'm not a superstitious guy, but I do a lot of pre-kick ritual stuff, if you will, just making sure I'm loose and ready to go and mentally ready to go as well. So I don't think it's superstitious. It's just maybe smart football, I guess, is the way I look at it.
How important are the warm-ups? You went out, you kicked a bunch of long ones yesterday.
Yeah, you know, every day we pre-game stuff, we try to find what our range is and you know, before the game, during the game, halftime. Sometimes if you're playing outside, field conditions change, weather conditions change. So it's always in a dome like we had yesterday, obviously that's not changing. So it pretty much, once you figure what your range is and how you're feeling, it pretty much stays. But it's always kind of you go in at halftime and offense and defense makes adjustments. Sometimes you have to do that for kicking as well, but we try to know how we're hitting it and what we're thinking, and then that way we can give our coaches a good, hey, this is the range, this is what I'm thinking, and all the kicks that we had yesterday, I don't think there was any real short ones, but there was nothing that was really, really pushing the limit either.
How important is the trio, Matt Overton, the snapper, and Pat McAfee?
Very, very important. I know at times there's other teams, you know, I've never been a part of it. My two guys are awesome. I mean, they do a fantastic job. But when somebody gets hurt or you miss a guy, you know, it can screw up timing or it can screw up confidence in each other and stuff. But my two guys are awesome. I mean, they just do a fantastic job. And Pat just seems to be able to – he's got great hands. He knows how – I mean, he's a kicker and a punter. And I mean, he knows how it should be held and how I like it held, and he does a good job. So builds confidence, and it also just makes my job a little easier.
I know some days during practice, you guys, both of you, drive 60-plus yard field goals. Pat's got a leg. He could make one.
He definitely does. You know, and that was one of those that, you know, inside of 60, I'm kind of the guy. And if we ever need one farther than that, we've got a real weapon with him. I mean, it's one of those things that we all have seen it week in and week out when he's kicking. And if we need something like that and it's outside of my range, he gives us another 5 or 6 or whatever yards more. So he's definitely a threat. I mean, we're very fortunate to have him. Booming the balls on kickoffs and his punting is awesome as well. So we're very fortunate to have him on our team.
Adam, the pre-forecast for Cincinnati is maybe some snow and 27 degrees. You're not, that won't be your first rodeo doing something like that. I think all of us who have looked at what you've done, you go back to the New England game in the snow against Oakland. Was that your best field goal?
Yeah, I would say that's probably the game that I'm the most proud of. Mm-hmm. There's been some good kicks over my long career, but I think just conditions and what the game meant and backs against the wall and you got to make it or you're done, the whole season's over, that kind of thing. I don't think you could have a more pressure-filled kick with the field conditions and what it meant. But, yeah, you know, it's one of those, you know, if this weekend's game is going to be crummy weather, you try to get out there and you try to figure it out the best you can. You know, and like I said before, you know, the whole it's an adjustment, it's a this and that. You do the best you can and then you have to, you know, kind of know what your limitations are. You know, if you get put in a situation at the end where we don't have any other options, well, then you do the best you can. But it's nice to be able to go out there and kind of know what your ranges are and try to help the team.
I wouldn't call them heroes, but I know two guys that you think the world of as kickers. Yesterday, 16 years with 100 points, you tied Jason Elam. Great kicker in his own right, and sharing the honor with him is pretty good.
Oh, awesome. Absolutely. He, you know, he's a little older than I am, so he had a handful of years in the league before I got in, but I definitely think he's one of the greatest ones that I've ever played with all his championships with the Broncos and all the things that he's done. It's always fun being mentioned in conversations with some of these guys that you've idolized as a kid and thought that they were the best guys out there. So when you can be in the same sentence with guys like Jason Elam and some of the other ones, it's special.
One of the other ones is Morton Anderson. He's the all-time leading scorer in this league. You and he are the only two kickers with 800 points with two different teams. Again, the sentence, and it includes a pretty good name.
Yeah, well, you have to play a long time to be able to line up that many points. So I think Morton, I mean, 25 years and 2,500 and some odd points. I mean, to be able to do it at that level for that long, I mean, I don't know if you can say enough good things about a guy like that. I watched him growing up as a kid. I idolized him. I still think, I mean, head and shoulders, I mean, he's one of the greatest of all time. So to be able to play for two teams like I have and play as long for both teams and be able to put up the points, that really says a lot about the offenses that I've been a part of. I mean, you don't score 100 points a season. You don't score 800 plus with numerous teams if you're not scoring a lot of points. So it's a record that goes into my stats, but at the end of the day, it's a team record, and it's shared amongst all my teammates over a long period of time, and I'm very fortunate to have that opportunity.
And finally, you're close to a really big mark, 2,000 points, 32 more to go. Again, you take no points and four wins and go to the playoffs and win some playoff games, but when you get there, not if, when you get there, how big is that?
Well, that's another, you know, I'm not a big-time stats guy, but that is one that I think would be pretty neat. I think there's only four or five guys that have ever gotten to 2,000 points in their career, and that just says something about your longevity and your ability to stay consistent for a long period of time. So if I could eventually here, hopefully soon, join the ranks of Morton and Gary and Hanson and Stover, I think are the four. Maybe there's another one or two in there that I'm forgetting, but if I could join some of those guys in that illustrious group of guys, it would just be an honor. For me, it's all about winning games and hoisting trophies and that kind of stuff, but those individual stats pile up after a while, and that's something that you can look back on after you're retired and really think it's kind of cool.
Oh yeah, you need one more trophy. That would make it perfect.
I need at least one more, at least one more for sure.
You know, it's always fun to sit down with Adam Vinatieri and just talk football and talk life in general. He is quite a man as well as quite a kicker and a certain Hall of Famer. And that's our Player Spotlight interviews presented by Lightbound. For all your cloud service needs, call Lightbound. Up next, well, we've got the drive of the game. Then we'll be joined by our game day radio analyst, Jim Sorgi. We'll talk about the game yesterday and look ahead to the Bengals. We'll do that in just a moment. This is Colts Monday Night with Chuck Pagano, presented by Citizens Energy Group on FM 107.5, 1070 The Fan, and 97.1 Hank FM.
This is Colts Monday Night on FM 107.5 and 1070 The Fan, brought to you by Meijer, the official supercenter of the Colts, and they'll be hosting special Blue Friday events throughout the season. During every Blue Friday, 24 lucky fans will each win two tickets to the upcoming Colts home game. For more information, visit Colts.com/Blue Friday. And also visit Colts.com to view the most recent features of instant access immediately after every game presented by Exact Target. Exact Target, a Salesforce.com company creating the platform of choice for CMOs.
This is Colts Monday Night with head coach Chuck Pagano, presented by Citizens Energy Group. Once again, from the Taco Bell studio, here's Bob Lamy, the voice of the Colts.
Back to the show, and let's get things going right away. Yesterday's drive of the game, it's presented by Dreyer and Reinbold. It took a while, but late in the game, Donald Brown finished off this drive this way. They move Mario Harvey in motion from the right side to the left. They'll give it off to Donald Brown right up the middle. DB, did he get in? Yes, touchdown! Donald Brown behind the big guys, blasted into the end zone, and the Colts now lead 21-14 with the extra point to come. Well, we're now joined on the Verizon hotline with Jim Sorgi. And, Jim, we waited a long time for that 92-yard drive, but when it came about, what a thing of beauty. No mistakes on the entire drive, six first downs, and those big guys up front really paved the way for a hole for Jim to score that go-ahead touchdown.
Yeah, they really did. It was a great drive. And did we play great football? No, not by any stretch of the imagination. Did we play good football? Yes, at times. Do we need to work on things? Of course. But to get the ball with 8:08 left in the game, up by 1 point on our own 8-yard line, and right at that point, Tennessee's feeling pretty good about themselves. They got a heck of a kicker. They got us at our 8-yard line. They've been getting us off the field all day. For the most part, well, at least not giving up touchdowns. If they give us a three and out there, we're probably punting from our own end zone or close to it. And with the heck of a kicker they got, only down by a point, they got to feel pretty good. And they got three timeouts left. And you know what we do? We go out there, we go 92 yards. Like you said, we get six first downs. We eat up the clock. We eat up the field by running the football. 78 yards rushing on that drive, all by Donald Brown and Andrew Luck, predominantly with their doing it with their legs, and to be able to just to cap that drive off and take 6 minutes, over 6 minutes off the clock, 6 minutes and 12 seconds, I think it was the exact time we took off the clock, and really put them in a bind to where they got to score a touchdown. But it was huge, and you know, you got to sit there and wonder, why can't we do that the whole game, and why can't we pave those kind of lanes, you know, the whole game, and that's the big question. And but, you know, when it comes down to it, when we need to do it and get it done, we did. And it was a huge moment in the game and a huge drive in the game, and it really showed, you know, the kind of grit and determination this team has.
Pulse of the Fans, what they're talking about around the water cooler today. One of them, why has Darius Hayward Bay struggled so much this year?
You know, the struggles he got, what I saw yesterday, the drop pass, the blatant drop pass that everybody saw that would have been a huge first down, would have kept that drive going and possibly led to a touchdown. He ran a great route. He was wide open. It was a great throw by Andrew. And when the ball's coming to him, he tries to catch it like a returner. He tries to catch it like cradle it in his arms against his pads. But the thing is, and the thing you're taught very young, there's two things you're taught when you're a young man growing up. First, as a receiver, to catch the ball at the highest point and catch it with your hands. On that play right there, he let the ball get into his pads. And when that happens, the ball is going to deflect off your pads because the quarterback throws that ball hard. He tries to catch it as like a punt returner, kick returner, and the ball deflects off his pads, and it just is coming at such velocity that it deflects too far for him to catch. If he would have just got his hands out in front of him and caught it with his hands, he would have been able to catch it and make something happen. You know, he's struggling a little bit. He's been up and down. He's made some good catches. He caught that one touchdown pass on that fake reverse screen pass to the left-hand side that really I thought really was going to give him confidence and grow, and I really thought the injury to Reggie was going to give him the spotlight to shine. And who knows? He's still got four games to prove himself. He's a talented kid. He's got the size. He's got the physical attributes. He's a first-round draft pick for a reason. He just needs to go out there and relax a little bit and let the game come to him, not so much press a little bit. And that's because that's when you start making mistakes. When you try to do too much, is when you start making mistakes. You need to just go back to the basics, go back to the fundamentals, and he'll be okay.
All right, we'll talk more with Jim in just a moment. Sunday's top two coming up. And, again, Jim will answer a couple of the tweets, questions of the day. We'll be right back. You're listening to Colts Monday Night with Chuck Pagano, presented by Citizens Energy Group on FM 107.5, 1070 The Fan and 97.1 Hank FM.
We're back on Colts Monday Night, presented by Citizens Energy Group. Citizens Energy Group is proud to be the Colts' conservation partner. For conservation tips, go to citizensenergygroup.com. Citizens Energy Group, we're all citizens. And are you the AAA fan of the game? For info on how you can become the fan of the game, go to AAA.com/football or visit one of our 16 Central Indiana locations. And Colts fans, be sure to visit the Bud Light tailgate tent across the street just north of the stadium for pregame fun and $3 Bud Lights. Make the Bud Light tent your place before the game.
We now return to Citizens Energy Group's presentation of Colts Monday Night with head coach Chuck Pagano. From the Taco Bell studio, here again is Bob Lamy.
All right, it's time for Sunday's top two. Let's hear a review of yesterday's two big plays against the Titans. The first, Andrew Luck's 24-yard run. Joe Wright is in as a extra blocker, and on the play action, Andrew Luck rolling to the right side. He's going to run first down, 50, 45, 40, cuts back in, 35, and goes down at the Tennessee 33, 34-yard line. 24, the second longest run of his career. 28 was the longest, and the Colts have a key first down at the Tennessee 34. How important, Jim, was that play during that drive?
Oh, huge first down, huge first down. I mean, just to get us into field goal range, and I love the play call. Just because of the fact that gave Andrew the option, it gave him the throw pass, the run pass option, and he had Healy in the flat. He decided to take himself. Why risk the transfer of the ball between in the air, which anything can happen? He decides to take it himself. He doesn't go out of bounds. He stays in bounds. He gets as much as he can. He goes down in bounds to take a little bit more time off the clock. It really put us in the field goal range where if we had to kick the field goal, we go up by four. So they would have to score a touchdown to beat us. Luckily, we went down and scored the touchdown, but that was a big play in the game. And it really just showed he made two big runs in that drive. And it was the first down when we were backed up inside our own end of the field, and then that one right there just to keep that drive going. Two big first downs by him doing it with his legs. And that's the kind of quarterback we have, a guy that can throw it, do it with his arm, and he can run the ball and do it with his legs.
The game wasn't decided until Jarrell Freeman came up with a huge interception. Fitzpatrick takes the snap, sets up, looks and looks and looks and looks. And now he's going to wheel one down. It's picked off by the Colts. Jarrell Freeman goes to the ground with the Colts' third interception of the day. Jarrell Freeman did it. And with 24 seconds left to go, the Colts are within one of clinching the AFC South. Jim, I wasn't sure he could jump that high, but he did, got it. And that put the nail in the coffin for Tennessee.
Yeah, you said it best. Put the nail in the coffin. He got up and snatched that ball out of the air. And you got to give him credit because he kind of baited Ryan Fitzpatrick into that throw. And we did a great job of baiting him all day. He threw three interceptions, but that one was huge. We gave up the big pass play to start that drive, and then nothing else came easy to get to that play. And he tries to go to Kendall right on the over route when he had Chris Johnson on the flat route. But Freeman just kind of baited him, kind of made him think he had enough space to get it over top of him. He jumps up and makes that interception to seal the deal. And a perfect way to go up three games in the AFC South and one win away or one Tennessee loss away from securing that division and a playoff berth.
Hey, Jimmy, grab that big coat. It's supposed to be 27 and snowing in Cincinnati on Sunday. We'll see you then.
Colts, oh, Lord, here we go.
Yes. Colts would like to thank Subway for donating prizes for the Colts giveaway packages given away at the beginning of the show. Thanks for listening, everybody. The Colts Monday Night with Chuck Pagano, presented by Citizens Energy Group on FM 107.5, 1070 The Fan, and 97.1 Hank FM.